Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, Alice Bryant, Anna Mateo, and Jill Robbins. Later, Dorothy Gundy will present the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
A hairstyle that looks similar to models of the new coronavirus has been gaining popularity in Kenya. The hairstyle creates long spikes that move out across the head. Pictures representing the structure of the new coronavirus have shown spikes coming out of a round outer surface. One reason the hairstyle is growing in popularity is because it is less costly. This is more important now because many families are facing economic difficulties as a result of restrictions meant to limit the spread of the virus. The restrictions have stopped daily work activities for millions of people with little or no savings. The coronavirus-influenced look is also being used by some Kenyans to raise public awareness about COVID-19, the disease caused by the virus. The method used to make the coronavirus hairstyle uses a common material for threading instead of manufactured hair products. The coronavirus hairstyle costs just 50 cents, compared to $3 to $5 for an average braided hairstyle. Sharon Riffa is a hairdresser. She works in a busy area of Kibera, a poor neighborhood in Kenya's capital, Nairobi. She told the Associated Press that a lot of young girls are coming to her to get the spiky coronavirus hairstyle. Riffa said some adults still do not believe the coronavirus is real. But most young children have been following guidelines to wear face masks and wash their hands often. She said she thinks the hairstyle can be one way to get parents to take coronavirus guidelines more seriously. So many adults do not do this, and that is why we came up with the corona hairstyle, Riffa added. Early this week, the number of confirmed virus cases was nearing 700. Health officials have expressed worries that the virus could be spreading in Nairobi's crowded, poor areas. Mothers like Margaret Andia said the hairstyle makes their daughters happy and saves them money. The look costs much less than others, and yet we want our kids to look stylish, Andia told the AP. Another mother, Mariam Rashid, said COVID-19 had destroyed the economy and taken jobs from the people. I therefore decided to have my child's hair done up like this, at an affordable 50 shillings, and she looks good, Rashid said. The hairstyle also helps in communicating with the public about the virus, she added. I'm Brian Lynn.
once in a while, pictures or videos of airplanes nearly full of passengers appear on social media. That seems to violate advice from public health officials related to social distancing during the coronavirus crisis. Some people have raised the question, how can airplanes still be full when air travel has decreased more than 90% from a year ago? In some cases, airlines are creating the crowds. They are canceling flights. Passengers must then crowd onto the few remaining planes. The airlines, however, say that they are taking action to ease passengers' fears about coronavirus contagion. Some are blocking middle seats or letting passengers pay extra to guarantee an empty seat next to them. They are also starting to require passengers to wear facial coverings. The number of people traveling on airplanes is at its lowest level in many years. There are only about 17 passengers on the average flight within the United States. But that is an average. The number of people passing through airport security has been rising since the middle of April, but it is still down 93% from 1 year ago. So, why are some flights full? Partly, it is because of the high number of canceled flights. On routes where there used to be several flights offered by different airlines, now there may be two or three, said Robert Mann. He is a former airline official in the New York area. Airlines have sharply cut their flight offerings. They also cancel flights in the few days before departure. That can force passengers who were scheduled to be on many different flights to be on the same one. Some planes are more likely to be crowded, especially those between hub airports operated by the same airline. Another question is whether airlines are spacing passengers out. Several airlines are blocking some middle seats. Delta Airlines, for example, said recently that it will block some window and aisle seats until June 30th. This will leave 50% of first class and 60% of the main area empty. Southwest Chief Gary Kelly said his airline will temporarily limit the number of seats it sells, probably to 67%. Frontier Airlines said that until August 31st, it will guarantee passengers an empty aisle seat next to them if they pay between $39 and $89. What about face coverings? All the leading U.S. airlines have announced plans to start requiring passengers to wear face coverings on flights. JetBlue Airways was the first to announce the policy, which took effect May 4th. Recently, Delta, American, United, and Southwest have also made it a requirement. Airlines say they will not let passengers board a plane without masks, but small children and people with some medical conditions will generally not have to wear them. Others will be permitted to briefly remove coverings while eating or drinking. Flight crews are preparing for passengers who will ignore the rules. An industry official told the Associated Press that airlines would not land planes if a person will not keep their face covering on unless they are violent or crazy. The official asked not to be named since he was not permitted to discuss the airline's operations with reporters. In addition, the airlines are requiring crew members to wear face coverings. How do airlines clean planes? Every airline says it has increased cleaning of plane cabins to help prevent spread of the coronavirus. Some, like Delta, say they are using special machines to spread antiviral chemicals. Airlines say that the air inside their planes is safe to breathe. Cabin air on most large planes is a mix of fresh air from the outside and air that is passed through high-efficiency air filters. And finally, how long will the changes last? Until there is a proven treatment or widely available vaccine for COVID-19, the changes are likely to stay in place for a time. COVID-19 is the disease caused by the coronavirus. If more people start taking flights this summer, it is still not expected to be anything like the summer of 2019. I'm Alice Bryant.
Writer N.K. Jemisin was young the first time she read a book by Octavia Butler. Nothing had prepared her for it. Butler wrote science fiction, creative writing about events set in a future time. The book Jemisin read was called Dawn. It is the story of a black woman who awakens 250 years after a nuclear disaster. I remember just kind of being stunned that a black woman existed in the future, because science fiction had not done that before, says Jemisin. Her book, The City We Become, is selling very well. Octavia Butler was a revolutionary voice in her lifetime. She is even more popular since her death 14 years ago. Her former literary agent and the manager of her work, Mary Lee Heifetz, said Butler's novels sell more than 100,000 copies each year. Toshi Regan has made Butler's novel, Parable of the Sower, into an opera. Actors Viola Davis and Ava DuVernay are among those working on a new television show based on her work. Grand Central Publishing is putting out all of her novels again. She has been included in the Library of America. Now, a generation of young writers say she has been a large influence on them, including Jemisin. Writer Nnedi Okorafor is now writing a film based on the Butler novel Wild Seed. It will be made by the film company owned by Davis and her husband, Julius Tenen. In an interview with the Associated Press, Davis said she began reading Butler about 30 years ago. I felt included in the narrative in a way I had never felt reading anything before, said Davis, who has a deal with Amazon Studios. There is something about seeing yourself that opens up your world. Elise Eve Weinbaum is a professor of English at the University of Washington. She said Butler broke in the science fiction world that had been almost completely dominated by white men and white readers. She is now considered a visionary writer because her work deals with the things that concern us today, from climate change to politics. In her 1998 novel, Parable of the Talents, She writes about a president in the year 2032. Religious tolerance does not suit him, Butler wrote. There was never such a time in this country. But these days, when more than half the people in the country can't read at all, history is just one more unknown to them. She seems to have seen the real future coming in a way few other writers did, said Jerry Caravan. He is an associate professor at Marquette University. Caravan is among those preparing Butler's work for the Library of America. It's not hard to read the books and think, how did she know? Born in Pasadena, California, Butler was black, poor, and nearly 2 meters tall. I believed I was ugly and stupid and socially hopeless, she once explained. Lonely, she began reading and writing about her feelings of isolation. This led to her reading and writing science fiction and other stories. Her first novel, Pattern Master, came out in 1976. Some remember that the first book cover for her novel Dawn showed a white woman in order to appeal to buyers. Through the 1980s and 90s, her readership and fame grew. She became the first science fiction writer to receive a MacArthur Genius Grant, an award given to top artists and scientists. Okorafor was among her many admirers. She was really kind and she was funny. I just wish she were here now to see how much more she is being honored. I'm Ana Mateo.
As students from Vietnam have returned to the classroom, educators are now looking at plans to reopen schools around the world. In Vietnam, students returned to their classrooms last week, wearing masks. They are scanned for temperatures at the school gate. Health officials reported that the country had gone for 3 weeks without any new cases of COVID-19. South Korea had been planning for high school seniors to return to classes this week, and others to come back later in May. Instead, officials have delayed the reopening after the latest coronavirus outbreak. They are now trying to identify and contact 5,500 people who had visited a popular entertainment area in Seoul over the weekend. Both countries have contained the spread of the virus by expanding testing and tracking people who might have been in contact with anyone reported to be infected. In the U.S., the White House released guidelines to reopen the country in 3 phases. It proposes that schools may reopen in phase 2, along with theaters, religious centers, sporting events, and restaurants. The guidelines suggest that states could make the decision after documenting a 28-day decrease of COVID-19 cases and putting in place a strong testing program. The Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security supports plans to reopen the U.S. in phases. The center, however, notes that there are still unanswered medical questions. One is about the rate at which children can spread the virus to others. That unknown makes it more difficult to know when schools should reopen. The center suggests if schools are reopened, decisions will need to be made regarding whether tele-education will need to be provided to those students who do not come back to school, alongside in-person education being provided in school. The American Enterprise Institute or AEI, is a research organization that supports limited government and conservative policy. In a report for the Institute, John Bailey and Frederick Hess suggest that education leaders should begin planning now to reopen in the fall based on new information about how the coronavirus disease spreads. The two say, depending on the public health situation, there may be waves of stopping and starting, partial or staggered openings, or other developments. The AEI says American leaders may learn from schools reopening in other countries. For example, Danish health officials have reopened schools, but with required hand washing and social distancing rules. Spaces between students are larger and classes are much smaller. Tables, door handles, and other surfaces are disinfected 2 times a day. The report suggests changes to school operations, including lunches and transportation. Schools may permit only 1 student per seat on the school bus to observe social distancing guidelines. Large cities will need to provide a safe environment for students using crowded public transportation. Lunches may be served in classrooms or in smaller groups. Now, some schools are bringing meals not just to students, but also to people in need in the community. All of these services will add to the costs of operation and require more money. Students will be returning to school after a long period of isolation. Some will have lost friends and family members to COVID-19. People in their family may have lost jobs. More mental health workers will be needed to help them deal with depression and anxiety. Older teachers and staff members are at a higher risk of serious illness if they get the virus. And some may wish to continue teaching from a distance until a vaccine is available. A small school in the western state of Montana is one of the first to reopen in this school year on May 7th. The Willow Creek School has 56 students. Bonnie Lauer, head of the school system, said she knows the school is taking a risk in reopening for just 2.5 weeks. But a local survey showed most of the parents in this rural community wanted to reopen the classrooms. They wanted their children to continue their studies and experience a little of normal life before the school break, she said. To follow the CDC guideline for social distancing, Lauer planned to give teachers a special tool, 1-meter-long plastic pool noodles, to measure the distance between desks. It's the handiest tool on the planet right now, Lauer said. I swear, we are going to live and die by the noodle. I'm Jill Robbins.
Are you at risk of getting seriously ill from the new coronavirus? Here are some things to keep in mind. 80% of coronavirus cases are mild. Young and healthy people are at low risk. Other people and those with serious health conditions have a greater risk of serious illness or even death. If you have a cough, fever, and difficulty breathing, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the World Health Organization website at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Yellowstone National Park became America's first national park in 1872. The National Park Service was formed 44 years later in 1916. Yellowstone, which is mostly in the state of Wyoming, is considered an example of the success of the national park system. Humans have been present in Yellowstone for more than 11,000 years. The first organized exploration of the area, which lies close to the continental divide of North America, took place in 1870. Those first organized explorers must have seen right away how special the land was. Yellowstone contains beautiful mountains, deep canyons, lakes, and rivers. The name Yellowstone comes from the river running through the area. At first known as Rock Yellow River, it became known as the Yellowstone River. Yellowstone is host to many different species of plants. However, the park is most special because of what lies underneath it. It sits on top of an ancient supervolcano known as the Yellowstone Caldera. The caldera is 48 by 72 kilometers, and it remains an active volcano. It is believed that the last time the volcano exploded or erupted was 1.5 million years ago. The area has had 3 major eruptions in the last 3 million years. Experts say it may erupt again in another 1,000 to 10,000 years. But each year, there are thousands of earthquakes at Yellowstone. Most are too small to be felt by people visiting the park. Yellowstone is filled with the beauty of many thermal or hot water springs. Of all the geothermal places in the world, half are in Yellowstone. In places of geothermal activity, hot water and gases are trapped under the Earth's crust. In places like Yellowstone, they rush to the surface in the form of hot water and steam to form geysers. There are more geysers and hot springs in Yellowstone than anywhere else on Earth. The most famous geyser is Old Faithful. It erupts about every hour or hour and a half. The eruption can last from 1.5 minutes up to 5 minutes. The amount of hot water it expels in that time can be as much as 31,000 liters or more. In addition to its beauty and wonder, Yellowstone is an animal sanctuary. It is home to the largest group of wild animals in the lower 48 United States. As you travel through the park, you can sometimes see them in their natural habitat and hear their calls to mate and defend themselves. Listen to this elk's bugle. There is still a Wild West in America, and its name is Yellowstone. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.